It's time for Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, courtesy of
ROX Rocks Heating and Air.
All right, Troy, what do you make of the news with Juwan James?
Listen, injuries stink. It's awful, and it's made worse for him by the fact that he heeded the Players Association's advice to work off-site, and by injuring himself off-site, it could cost him $20 million. And nobody's going to have sympathy for that, I understand. I feel for the player anytime someone gets hurt, and also for James, who was eager to try to rebound and kind of reclaim his Broncos career. From the lineman I had talked to, you know, he was excited about getting back on the field. But as it stands, D-Mac, I mean, the Broncos could ultimately be on the hook for $17 million for 63 snaps. You know, they could get out from under $20 million. They may try to claw back a portion of his signing bonus, as much as $3 million. But the reality is he's going to go down as arguably their biggest free agent signing bust ever.
Oh, my gosh, Troy, I've got so many thoughts on this one. I don't even know where to start with you. But I guess let's just start with this. Talk to me about the finances of it. I mean, Juwan James made a decision that he wanted to stay home, work out from home, rather than being at the facility. And now because of that, because he didn't want to work out at the team facility with Lauren Landau, who I promise you would have had him go through an active warm-up, and I doubt this would have happened, now he is at risk of losing close to, like, $20 million. Is that what it is, Troy?
Yeah, I mean, it's awful for him. Again, he had been working out at the facility, Tyler, until the NFLPA encouraged players to not report to voluntary workouts and to, you know, in protest in part, as D-Max had talked to, it's kind of a silent, if not tepid protest about COVID-19 protocols. It's more factually about the length of the off season. So by choosing to work out off-site, he put himself in jeopardy, because when the players said we're not going to report to off-season workouts through the NFLPA, NFL teams countered by saying, as part of the new CBA, we're not going to guarantee your contracts if you're injured off-site. That was their counter move. And, you know, James now becomes this example case number one of the danger of not being at the facility. And these are part of union issues, and then he gets entangled in it. But it ultimately could cost him $20 million if they go back at $3 million of his signing bonus, the way it's prorated, it could ultimately cost him $23 million.
Wow.
Goodness gracious, man.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Troy, I mean, is there any reaction about this from Dove Valley? Have you heard from anybody?
Listen, you know, I mean, publicly, they're sorry for James to get hurt, and they were encouraged, George Payton included, about his work recently and that his enthusiasm kind of returning to work. He was going to have to ingratiate himself back with the offensive line, but, you know, Dalton Risner or others were open to that, trying to get him kind of back on board, if you will, because it's such a tight group among the offensive linemen. I mean, but privately, I mean, are they going to bemoan the fact that they're off the hook from this money for a guy they weren't sure was going to be able to play? I mean, they would never say this publicly, but let's call it what it is. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what to expect from James. He's played 63 snaps over three games 2 years ago. Last year he opted out. They hadn't seen him in pads in 16 months. That wasn't going to happen until training camp. They didn't know what to expect from him because they just hadn't laid eyes on him. That's why they were so encouraged recently when he was at the facility, like, okay, he's definitely all in. He wants to be bat part of this. You got to see what it looks like on the field. But the reaction is his bad break may have allowed them to, you know, catch a break, because I don't know if he would have started. And again, I hate when guys get injured, so I hate talking in those terms, but that is the reality. There was no guarantee he was going to start and be the guy at right tackle.
Over who? Who would have started over him?
Well, Calvin Anderson, you go get someone during camp. They were going to just kind of play. They were kind of slow playing this to see where he was. And Tyler, if they didn't like what they saw in, you know, in June for sure, when the, you know, mandatory minicamp set up, that's when they could have, in theory, made a move. You know, you could either trade for someone, you could get someone off the street. You mm-hmm. could say that you trust Calvin Anderson. You could move positions. I mean, it's not a great option, but Calvin Anderson started twice last year, and they do have high hopes for him. They're going to have to add a veteran, though, to protect themselves. You know, is that Charles Leno, who just got cut? Is that Mitchell Schwartz? I mean, there's a few guys out there. I know Eric Fisher is visiting the Colts, but I'm not sure when he'd be healthy, because his was an Achilles late in the playoffs last year. But there's some options out there, Tyler. Now, there's some health issues there, but Charles Leno, certainly a guy to keep an eye on. He just got cut. And Mitchell Schwartz, who plays right tackle and had played it very well until last year for the Chiefs.
Yeah, Broncos management might like Mitchell Schwartz because he's ripping on the NFLPA with a tweet in regards to, hey, was it worth it, you know, staying away from the facility? Did that earlier today, which is definitely a pro-management side. He'd be, you know, he'd get along with Terry Bradshaw on that. So now what? Troy, what do you think? What do you think is next? And I get it, hindsight's 20/20, but in light of everything and how predictable it was that you wouldn't be able to count on Juwan James, does this impact how you would evaluate the draft of George Payton?
Well, it wasn't a great draft for tackles, and I don't think they liked Slater enough to take him a 9, or they just loved Pat Surtain. So obviously, if they had known James was going to get hurt, they should have taken a tackle in the first 3 rounds. It wasn't a great tackle draft, but you could certainly argue there were tackles available in the 2nd round. Yeah. 3rd, it got pretty slim. This wasn't a great tackle draft. It was really top-heavy. But, yeah, I mean, hindsight, they wish they had. They signed it an undrafted free agent. They're going to bring in some street guys, see where that lands. But I don't fault the team for not knowing a guy's going to get hurt. Like, if he was in hurt.
Yeah, but you should know that you can't depend on this guy. Because, all right, let me ask you this, Tyler and Troy. If it wasn't this, was it going to be something else? What do you guys think?
Well, I was not counting on him to play in 17 games, that's for sure. I thought he would play in about half the season. Something would pop up, and we would have a need for a backup tackle. So it's inexcusable, in my opinion, to be at this point without another legitimate starting option in-house. So,
Troy?
Look,
yeah.
I you can't get mad at him, though. I stand by it. I can't get mad at him for tearing his Achilles. It just feels like ultimate irony is all.
But that's what I said. If it wasn't this, was it going to be something else? I mean, we thought it was. We thought it was going to be something else, Tyler. I mean, we couldn't predict like an injury, but we thought, well, it's going to be something else, Troy.
Well, listen, as much as they like Calvin Anderson, I wondered if Anderson is just going to beat him out in camp.
But who's behind Anderson then? Like, who's our swing tackle then? Who's Quinn Bailey? Oh, well.
You'd have Quinn Bailey. But, again, they're going to add somebody.
Go Devils.
Again, they're going to add somebody. And it might not be a great option. It might be someone coming off injury. Maybe someone else gets cut. You're seeing players get cut post-draft. I would expect them to add a veteran right tackle to protect themselves. They've done that through the years, even as late as, early in training camp. It's not ideal. I'm with you, D-Mac. And again, I wondered if he would get beat out because, did James going to show up and he was 20 pounds lighter and didn't look like the guy you signed? I mean, he just didn't know. And there was no real belief he could stay healthy for a full season based on the previous 2 years. So, again, I expect a right tackle to be in there, a veteran, within the next couple of weeks. Certainly when you get to June, you want to have somebody in place that could at least push or start if necessary. Almost like when did they sign Dotson last year? It's a guy like that protects you in camp and you hope gets beaten out. Well, last year, Elijah Wilkinson wasn't very good and was hurt, and Dotson ended up beating him out eventually. So it would be someone of that vein that you would need to protect yourself for depth and experience.
Okay, well, good news is the Broncos do have money. And on the other side of that, there are a handful of options out there at right tackle. Dennis Kelly's played right tackle for a long time for the Titans. Mitch Schwartz is out there. I don't know if he's going to retire. I don't know if he can get healthy enough. I would certainly take a swing at him. Charles Leno just got released by the Bears. There are options out there. So is it fair to expect that the Broncos will be willing to spend big money on one of these free agents?
I mean, big money, I'd say reasonable money.
Reasonable.
Yeah, reasonable money on a one-year deal because there's a reason they're all out there. I mean, they may say they've got leverage because you need me so much, but they might say, in case of Leno, it's different because he just got cut. He might have some leverage because he's just out there. Schwartz is dealing with an injury that obviously the Chiefs didn't trust because they've remade their entire offensive line in one offseason. And Schwartz is a great player, not a good player, when healthy, but like you said, is he going to have to sit out? I mean, I think it was a back, so that's not great. But I expect him to bring in a veteran at reasonable money. If you go cheap, it doesn't make sense at this point. If it costs you 5 or 6, whatever that number is, they've got the money, and they're getting the money back from James. So I think you have to protect yourself there.
All right, quick baseball question. Do you like the 7-inning doubleheaders?
Not in major leagues, I don't, but I understand why. And the players seem to like them. I mean, obviously, when you're the Rockies and give up 10 in the first inning, it doesn't exactly cut down on the time involved. I like it for any level other than MLB because it messes with the numbers a little bit. But yeah, I don't feel strongly against it. I know players like it because they don't like standing around for 7 hours for a doubleheader.
Well, boo hoo. I think it's stupid. And if you want to allow an expanded roster for the times that you have a doubleheader to call a couple guys up from AAA, 7-inning doubleheaders in Major League Baseball are dumb. That's my opinion. Troy, another one real quick. Do you think 10 runs in the top of the first is a record for the Rockies or not?
A record allowed?
Allowed.
I swear Kip Wells allowed right at 10 years ago when it was one of the greatest interviews after that first inning after the game where he's like, I guess we're the only team that doesn't use scouting reports and put guys, you know, in position to get out. And I'm like, are they going to put guys over the fence? Like, where were they going to put them?
But
I would say yes, that it's a record just beating that Kip Wells outing of like eight or nine runs against the Braves, if I remember.
Apparently, and I wish I had the details. I don't. But on the text line, we've been told that 11 runs is actually the record. But if it's, I mean, it's crazy that just happened in a season of absolute possible misery. The Rockies would give up 10 runs in the top of the first.
The worst part about this is Germán Márquez is completely lost on the mound right now,
and that is
horrible for him because he's their ace. And right now, he cannot command his fastball at all.
Oh, my God. All right, Troy, we love you. We'll talk to you later, pal.
See ya.
Breaking news. The Rockies suck.
It's Troy Reger, Denver 7 Broncos Insider, brought to you by
ROX, Rocks, Heating and Air, and the Rockies still suck.